This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yeah, this was sort of like a vacation, only it wasn't really, it's not a vacation, but it's been 3 weeks since I've been on the air, which is kind of weird, actually, if you think about it. I don't, caught 3 weeks not being on the air, and I don't know when. Been a long time. Well, welcome to this is the Way Northern Kia Studios. John Fricke with you on a Sunday morning. Phone number is always 404-726-0929, and we have a lot to catch up on, you and I. So we'll get into the Falcons and the Hawks. You want to talk Braves about United yesterday, you can weigh in on all of it. You want to talk college basketball about, is Dongo going to lead this resurgence for Damon Stoudemire? Did Georgia actually play their way in against Texas yesterday? So if you want to talk about all that, you're certainly welcome to. It is an open show, as you know, for the next 4 hours. I will have Mike Conney, the voice of Atlanta United, among other things, joining me in about 15 minutes or so. Talk a little bit about Atlanta United and kind of pick his brain about what's going to happen this month with the Falcons and what he sees moving ahead with the Hawks here, because I think we all see the same thing, right? I mean, we all see the same thing. The only thing we might disagree upon here in Atlanta is kind of the route to take to fix the things that need to be fixed. That's all. But we all see the same thing. I mean, we obviously see that the Hawks are kind of strapped into where they're in, and rightly or wrongly, and, you know, this whole thing about Embiid over this week, you know, was like, yeah, really? Yeah, no. And then, of course, he's out for the year. I'm like, oh, thank God. You know, I mean, no, thank you. I'll pass. I mean, he's a great player, but, again, you're not in a position to take an Embiid, because to me, an Embiid move, by the way, just to get this one out of the way, that's a move you make if you're that one guy away from competing for an NBA title, you know, for this year or next year. And they're not. So what's the point of it, except to just kind of make it harder on yourself? That's all. So we got a lot to chat about. All right, so here's the deal. This is what's been 3 weeks. Last time we talked, I mentioned to you that my wife and I had to go to Indiana. We are very fortunate, the two of us. I will be 65 in a couple of months, and she will be 65 a couple of months after that. And we are very, very blessed by God. All of our parents are still with us. That's rare for a couple in their mid-60s. But the downside of that is that all of our parents are in their late 80s to 90, and we have been called upon at this point in our life to try to help out, because we have some some issues to deal with, you know, in terms of health issues for the, you know, our folks. And so we're in Indiana. And so I got to talking to Mike, and I'm like, okay, well, I don't have any idea how long I'm going to be here. And, you know, I had gone through this before where my wife had come up to Indiana and spent, you know, about 10 weeks to 3 months. And for those of you who, you know, are used to being apart as a couple, the 3 months almost apart is not really, that didn't work for me a couple of years ago. And so when I was faced with the idea that it would be, you know, an extended period of time, I said, look, why don't I just go up with you? Because, you know, I can help with certain things and things of that nature. And not to get too personal here, I'm just explaining to you why I'm broadcasting from Bloomington, Indiana, where they're talking about Mike Woodson. So all the chatter's about Mike Woodson. I'm like, yeah, the Hawks. Oh, wait, no, not the Hawks. I've been down the Woodson Road before. So for the time being, it is the way Northern Kia Studios, but that doesn't mean we don't have a lot to chat about here between you and I. Again, the rules are simple. We can disagree, which is fine. I mean, I don't have a problem with disagreement. I just don't want you to be disagreeable. And if you're going to come on, I had to kind of add the last show. I kind of had to add a new rule in here. I'm not really going to cotton to you coming into my show. You want to call somebody else's show, you want to do it online. If you are an avowed fan of another team, to come onto my show to dog my teams. You want to come onto my show if you there was a particular 49ers fan that I banned. It would be interesting to see if he ever calls back to say, look, you want to call in as a Steelers fan, and I know some of you, okay, I just do. And I know this guy is a 49ers fan. You want to come out and talk about the 49ers? You want to ask me a question about the Falcons? That's fine. But dude dug in and came right at the Falcons, slamming the Falcons. Last I checked, Falcons had a better record than the 49ers last year. Falcons did not finish last in their division. Okay? Don't you come on my show and start slamming my team. You want to come out and talk about your team? That's fine. The only people that are allowed to slam our team are our fans. Okay? Now, we could take shots at other teams. You, John, you're always taking shots at the Swampers. You're slamming them. Yeah, because they're our rival. That's different, okay? Because everything else is, look, if a Swamper goes up here and wants to take shots at the Falcons, that's a different thing than any other team. Do I have to walk you through this? Otherwise, if you're a Packers fan or a Steelers fan or a Giants fan or a Cowboys fan, Niners fan, whatever, you want to come in and start slamming our team, that's just cheap shots. If you're a Swamper and you want to come in here, you step into the ring with me, we'll slug it out, okay? That's fine. This is old feud stuff. Well, you know, we got them, they got us. The rest of you, again, I'll be happy to talk to you about anything. But if you're a Mets fan, don't come in here and start slamming the Braves. What the hell you got to talk about? Were you even alive the last time Ray Knight crossed the home plate to win a World Series? Most of you probably Mets fans weren't. I mean, it was darn near 40 years ago. So, again, we can disagree again by being disagreeable. If you have an issue with the Falcons and you're not a Falcons fan, then fine. Say, you know, ask a question. Say, you know, do you think the Falcons are doing it right? Because we're going to get into all of that. That's my question to all of you. One of my big questions today is, look, there was a report this week, and we'll get into it a little bit more, that the Falcons had sent only defensive coaches to Indianapolis for the combine, and they were only going to interview defensive players. It was all going to be about the defense. And to a degree, that's true. They did send some offensive coaches to hold informal discussions. Well, I don't know what the hell the difference is between a formal discussion and an informal discussion. To me, a discussion's a discussion. I'm not really sure why we're going. Wait, you had a formal discussion. So you and a player had a formal discussion at the combine, correct? Yes. You and a player had an informal discussion. What, did you talk about the weather with that other player? Did you talk about, like, what food they like? What's on their iPad? I mean, what are we talking about, informal discussion? what's the difference? You're talking to somebody to try to get a sense of who they are. They're all formal discussions. But anyway, that's how they wanted to frame it. We had formal discussions with a bunch of defensive players. But there were a couple of offensive coaches who had informal discussions with some offensive players because they have to. Of course they do. Because they're eventually going to be taken. It's not like the entire draft. We only have 5 picks right now. But it's not like the entire draft is going to be just defensive players. It could be. But they could be sitting in the fifth round going, yeah, we really kind of like that offensive lineman, or we really like that that tight end or wide receiver or whatever, because we don't know what positions we have to fill yet. Okay, I got to stop. But I will say, one of the things that drives me nuts about the NFL, the NBA does it right, the NFL does not, okay? It's the NFL does free agency first, then the draft. Let's do it the other way. Let's do it the NBA way. Draft first, then free agency. Because it's really hard, to me, to know what you want to do in free agency when you don't know what's going to be available to you in the draft. This is why we're stuck, by the way, with Cousins of Penix's deal, was because they do free agency before the draft. If they had done it the other way around, people are like, well, I don't understand why you signed Cousins if you were going to get Penix. Because there was no guarantee we were going to get Michael Penix. I mean, he could have been long gone. You know, and what would you be sitting there with Taylor Heinicke going, oh, we got Taylor Heinicke. Hopefully it'll do it. Yeah, you have to do, that's the problem with the NFLPA has been able to negotiate free agency prior to the draft. I think they ought to move the NFL draft way up and move free agency back. But they're not going to listen to me. So that's why you had to sign Cousins, because you had no idea you were going to be able to get Penix. And when he fell to you in the draft, you felt like you had no choice but to take Michael Penix. So some of the people out there who say, I don't understand why you signed Kirk Cousins if you were going to draft Michael Penix, don't have a clue what they're talking about. Okay? That's the way NFL works. That's why it's so difficult. Because we're going to have to figure out a lot of things. Today, you and I can chat, and we'll figure out a lot of things. Like, for example, one of the things we're going to be able to chat about with the Falcons, you and me, is whether or not you're okay with the idea of 97 no longer being on this team. We have to have that discussion. Noelle White is running the board. She is the technical director and executive producer of this particular hour of the show. You're only doing 10 to 11. Is that correct, Noelle? And then
that is
Dom
correct,
is coming
John.
In.
Then you'll be the Dom.
How you doing? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Pretty good. Just following along with everything like everybody else. I'm trying to figure out what we are going to draft this year. I mean, hopefully.
Yeah, but we got to figure out who's going to even be on the team.
That too?
You know, I mean,
this salary cap
to me,
situation is...
Yeah, you got to figure out, you know, because Jadon's not on the team, right? I mean, come on. But is Simmons going to be on the team? You got to sign Dahlman, right? You got to sign McGarry, don't you? Even if everybody hates him, you still have to sign him, right? I mean, what else are you going to do?
What else are you going to do? I mean, you may.
I mean,
McGarry.
By the way,
he may be
real quick
in that line, but.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know what other option you have at the moment. What, are you just going to play Storm Norton? Because you can't really go out into free agency and spend that much money on a tackle, even though you need to spend a lot of money on tackles, because you need so much else, you know?
Yeah.
Are you okay with 97 being on another team, by the way?
It hurts, but if that's what needs to be done to move forward, those are the type of tough cookie decisions you got to make.
Now, tonight is the Oscars. That's another thing if you want to weigh in, and I may need your help here. Ever since they expanded it to 10 movies for Best Picture, I looked on this list. I've only seen two, and so I really don't know what to tell you, you know, how this is going to work. How many of these 10 have you seen, Noelle?
Probably none. I haven't even looked at the list. I have watched so few new movies last year is almost criminal.
Emilia Perez, A Complete Unknown, Conclave, which I saw. I'm not even Catholic, and the ending was just disgusting. Nickel Boys, I'm Still Here, The Substance, Doom Part 2, which I saw, and it was good. Wicked, Anora, and The Brutalist.
Oof, not a one. Wicked's on my list. I'm supposed to see Wicked this week. But I haven't seen not a one of those. Wow, yeah, impeccable job by me last year.
Yeah, all right, so that's the list here. I'm curious if you've seen a number of these. I know that Abe Gordon has. He's like our movie whiz. You know, is there a movie actually worthy of being Best Picture? The two I saw, Conclave and Doom Part 2, worthy is a relative term, but I'm not sure I'm a fan of. I'm not like, oh, my God, that's the Best Picture. You know, certainly not Conclave. All right, Mike Connie, the man of many hats, called the game yesterday. As you know, Atlanta United lost, but I want to touch base with him for a couple of minutes on United, on the Hawks, and then about the Falcons, because I want to set up the rest of the show, and Mike agreed to jump in here for a few minutes. We'll do that next Sunday morning live right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92 on the game on a Sunday from the, as I mentioned, the Way Northern Kia Studios. I mean, it's like I was transported back in time. I got fans complaining about Mike Woodson as a coach. I'm like, okay. I know that one. Mike Connie is the man, of course, of many hats. He is the voice of Atlanta United, among other things, and he has been kind enough to drag his rear end up on a Sunday morning with me, and I do appreciate that on the WayFord.com hotline. Mike, what is up?
John, I can honestly say it has never been better to hear your voice. I'm really glad you're back.
Yeah. Well, it was a nice little vacation, I guess. Well, I mean, all things considered. It's good to be back on the air and certainly talking to you and everybody, because there's a lot to chat about. So
yeah,
let's begin.
Just want to say, as brand manager, I felt very, very strongly that we needed to have just a little bit more Big Ten representation on the radio station.
Yeah, right.
I'm tired of the Big Ten being shouted down by all you SEC people. So, we needed to get at least one of our hosts in a Big Ten city. And I'm glad that you're up there, and I'm glad that you're still with us. And I'm really, really going to enjoy hearing from you over the weeks and months and years to come.
See, Mike could say that, because he could get away with it, as a Penn State fan. And, of course, he knows I went to Nebraska, so there's a lot of big time. But he can get away with saying that because he doesn't have to field calls from all you guys for the next 3.5 hours. I do. Thanks, Mike. Gee. So let's begin here. Let's talk first about Atlanta United, what we saw. I know there's injuries to the fullbacks. What you saw yesterday, this is really going to be more of a work in progress. I know some of us are way ahead of where this team is probably at, but as it goes along, what did you see yesterday?
Yeah, the word I used at the end of the broadcast, John, was sobering. That's how I felt. I think we got really, really excited last Saturday when we saw the Slam units just crank out chance after chance after chance and come up with three goals, one of which coming from a substitute, and Almiron involved in a couple goals, and Watt, and Saba, all involved in goal creation. And, there were some warts defensively, but you thought, you're going to outscore anyone you play, and it'll be fine. It'll be wild, entertaining, sometimes stressful soccer. And instead, yesterday, I kept thinking, man, this is more of the same. I mean, this is the same stuff, different year, especially with road games. This team's won only 15 road games over the last 5+ years. Outside of one 10-minute sequence at the end of the first half, this attack was not effective. Charlotte did a good job. They're very good defensively. You have to give Charlotte a lot of credit. national team center back in Tim Ream and MLS goalkeeper of the year in Christian Kolina. So it's not totally surprising that Atlanta United struggled as much as they did to create chances. I'm not at all concerned about giving up the two goals, John, because as you said, they were without their top three fullbacks. This back line is still going to be a work in progress. I thought Derek Williams didn't play very well yesterday, but he's coming back from an injury and he might not have been 100%. That I think will correct itself once you get Amador and Lennon and even Ronald Hernandez, I think, would have had a big impact in yesterday's game. So I'm not so concerned about that. I am very concerned that, outside of Al Marone getting three shots on target, Lotte Lott had really only one good chance. Saba, I didn't think, had a very strong game. And Maranchuk, I didn't think, had a very strong game. That's my concern. Because we were told, oh, yeah, I mean, this group's going to be just cranking out chance after chance after chance. And after they gave up the second goal yesterday in Charlotte, that was it. I mean, Charlotte was able to close up shop and kind of suffocate Atlanta United out of the match. And that was alarming to see.
Mike Connie, of course, play-by-play voice of Atlanta United and the man of many hats and brand manager, which means boss, by the way, for all of you in the swamp. Talking about a lot of sports here, I want to shift to the Falcons if I can, mm-hmm. and the combine. And I know a lot has been made about their focus on defense, but here we are, knocking on the door of decision day for Kirk Cousins. What is your best guess? Let's start there. I got two or three Falcons questions. Is your best guess that they will cut Kirk Cousins? It seems to be kind of the prevailing opinion.
It is. I'm not 100% sure they're going to cut him. I really think they would like to try to get something to get him off their hands, and even if it's a conditional draft pick or just some kind of compensation. I think they're going to try to do something to cut their losses. And keep in mind, too, as free agency evolves, as the draft evolves, and even as training camp evolves, needs of teams will change. And Kirk Cousins could suddenly become very, very valuable if a team has a training camp or a couple quarterbacks go down. I would not be shocked if the Falcons had Kirk Cousins still with the team going into this summer. And keep in mind, too, I think the explanation that we've gotten from the team as far as cap hit is concerned is fairly reasonable, that you've budgeted a certain amount of money to have both of these quarterbacks. It doesn't necessarily matter who's the starter and who's the backup. You've budgeted the same amount. So ideally, would the Falcons like to have Kirk Cousins off their hands today? Probably. Is that the right thing to do? I'm not exactly sure. I think there is still a window where the Falcons might be able to cut their losses and get something.
You bring up something that I really hadn't thought about, which is at the time of the declaration of the injury on the NFL Network, I said, look, he can't show his face in the clubhouse again. So I wonder if they decide to go ahead, because you can make a really compelling argument that, yeah, it might be worth the $10 million to keep him and see if you can't get something in return from another team, especially. Would you even let him, if you did that, would you just Cody Zeller him? In other words, say, don't even bother to show up and go get another quarterback and work him out. In other words, I don't want him back in the locker room, don't want him on campus, don't want him anywhere near the team.
You certainly could do that. I would be a little surprised, honestly, if things have gotten to that point. Cousins strikes me as a pro. I don't like what he did. The Falcons obviously should be very upset about the situation, but he's a pro. Raheem Morris is a pro. All these players on this team are pros. This would not be the first time that you've proceeded through OTAs or a mini camp or a training camp with an air quotes unhappy camper in your midst. So I think there is a path forward, at least short term, where Cousins could still be literally in the building. I don't think it is eroded to that point, John, where they're changing locks and door codes and everything like that. They're not giving Kirk the keys. I don't feel like there's that much acrimony yet, although I think you have heard, especially even in the last week when we've had Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris on the radio station, I think you have heard some palpable frustration in the way that everything went down.
Yeah, I think that's probably the one part of it. The other part of it is, how does it play in the locker room? If you're a player on that team looking at him and saying, "What, you knew this and you sold us out and you didn't bother to tell anybody." And so I think that's the other issue here. But
but you know what, John? John, I think everything blows over. You know, you give anything time and it blows over. We have collectively very short memories as human beings. And it could be by the time that we get to OTAs in April and May that a lot of that has blown over in the locker room. Beginning to wonder if we care about it more as fans and observers than maybe the players on this team.
Right, that may be possible too. So, but let's go back to the other part of this combine here, which is the whole emphasis on defense and this show about again, they did send some offensive coaches. I love this. We had a couple of offensive coaches go for informal interviews. What the hell is the difference between a formal interview and an interview? It's an interview, okay?
Right.
One's getting dressed up in a tuxedo. That's the formal interview, and one's got jeans
right.
on. I mean, okay, whatever. I get a sense here that because we've been spending so much time talking about Kirk Cousins, that the unspoken thing and about the draft, that the unspoken thing here is when we're knocking on the door of free agency here, and it was one of the questions I wanted to ask today, are we looking at major changes to this defense in like, there's going to be, forget about there's no Lo Carter, there's no Judon. Is there no Onyemata? Is there no Grady Jarrett? Are we redoing this entire defensive line and Jeff Ulbrich just hasn't said anything yet?
Yeah, a couple different things to touch on there. Just because they have said that they're all in on defense and that only the defensive coaching staff formally went to the combine, to me does not mean that they're still not going to take the best player available. And that the combine is only one piece of the scouting puzzle. Pro days are a very, very big part of that scouting puzzle, too. And I'm sure the Falcons scouting staff will be going all over the country to look at offensive and defensive players at these pro days and conducting interviews as needed and working players out as needed. So I'm not so hung up on the tip that maybe they're going to be heavy defensive in this draft because of what they're doing at the combine. But as far as an overall remake of the defense is concerned, I think right now this is a numbers game and it comes down to salary cap numbers. The salary cap went up a little bit more, than teams were anticipating. That might change the calculus a little bit on a player like Grady Jarrett. The other thing about Grady Jarrett specifically, John, I thought Carl and Mike made a really good point. I think it was Friday, where they were talking about Raheem Morris and the value of the locker room culture and the value of leadership and everything that Raheem Morris really holds near and dear. It would be surprising if Grady Jarrett's salary would trump the other leadership qualities that Grady Jarrett brings and that a decision would be made solely on that, which I thought was an interesting point. And I could absolutely see that with Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot making the decisions. But I do agree with you, John, that I think there is the potential for big changes. And a lot of it's going to be dictated by the draft. But free agency comes before the draft. And that's what makes it so tricky. And you're putting a lot of faith and confidence in your draft board and hope that the players that you have high on your draft board aren't going to be taken away from you when you have the opportunities to select. It's going to be a very, very busy couple months, a month and a half.
A couple weeks
in Flowery Branch for them to sort that all out.
All right, Mike Conney, final thing here with Mike Conney, live with John on a Sunday here. Mike, I want to go to the NCAA tournament. I'd like you to, all right, this is shameless plug time, but it's okay, to plug a little bit about what the tournament coverage will be like on the radio station.
Yeah.
In what appears to be, a year where the SEC, especially Auburn, good Lord, is going to be kind of potentially the dominant, they're the league to beat, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's going to be a lot of fun, and you're right, John. Our coverage really begins in earnest next Sunday when we start getting into some conference championship games. You'll have a short show next Sunday because we've got two conference championship games, Missouri Valley, and I think the Ohio Valley is the other next Sunday, and then we'll have some more conference championships on Tuesday. Selection Sunday, there's a Hawks game, or actually an Atlanta United game on, Atlanta United Miami, as they're pulling the brackets, and the Hawks are playing as well at the same time. So we'll really get into all the brackets the following Monday morning, and then you're right, between us and our sister station, News and Talk 1380 WAOK, every game of the tournament live on the radio all the way through the Final Four of the national championship, as we're very pleased to do with our relationship with Westwood One. And on top of all of that, we're going to have Andy and Randy and Dukes and Bell out at a number of venues across Metro Atlanta as games are played. Those first two days of the first round, the Thursday and Friday of the first round, I think are two of the best sports days of the entire year, because it's just a nonstop avalanche of meaningful college basketball that we're all invested in because of brackets. And what'll be fun is Andy and Randy and Carl and Mike, they'll be out at sports bars watching along with us. So a lot of coverage coming up, and really optimistic, John. I think we're going to get at least one local team in. Georgia's had a really, really good week. Is it enough to get them up to where they need to be? We'll find out, but they've had a really good week. And Georgia Tech has had a really good week, too. So things starting to look up locally for maybe getting a team into the tournament. I hope that'll end up happening.
Mike, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and we'll look forward to the NCAA tournament. I agree with you. I think Georgia pretty close to playing their way in. I think Tech probably going to have to win the ACC tournament to get in.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll see. We'll see how all that plays out. Thanks, Mike. Do appreciate it. Nice talking to you.
All right. See you, John.
Mike Conney, the man of many hats, boss, and all that kind of good stuff. All right, that was that. I just wanted to get his thoughts on it. Now let's talk to you. You heard what he said about the Falcons. What do you think is going to happen? What do you think happens with Kirk Cousins? Do they let him back in the building? Mike says maybe bygones are bygones. Do they cut him? Are you okay with Grady Jarrett not being potentially on this team and major changes to the defensive front under Jeff Ulbrich? How are you following on all this from what you've seen and heard from what's happened at the Combine? 404-726-0929. John Fricke with you on a Sunday right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Fricke with you on a Sunday morning. 404-726-0929. Well, we got a lot to talk about. If you want to chat about Atlanta United, you want to jump in on the Hawks. We haven't even gotten to the Hawks yet. And, of course, the Braves. Like, for example, with the Braves, do they have a Jared Kelnick problem? Do they have a Drake Baldwin problem? I certainly hope so. It'd be a good problem to have if you have problems with both those guys, because they're playing so well and you're going, yeah, how do you get Baldwin into the lineup more than once every, 4 days? 5 days, and what do you do with Kelnick once Acuna comes back and all that kind of? I hope so. That's all I can tell you is I hope they have that problem. 404-726-0929, and of course all the Falcons stuff. Want to thank Mike Conney for jumping in here and giving us his thoughts. The Cousins thing is going to come faster than you think. We have a couple of weeks before the Falcons are going to have to make the decision on picking up the $10 million roster bonus. And I hate, one of the things that always drove me nuts a little bit is spending so much time talking about money, because I want to talk about performance, but money becomes something that we spend an awful lot of time talking about because of salary caps not so much in baseball, obviously, but in basketball and luxury tax, and in football in the hard cap that the NFL has. And Grady is a $17 million player. He is 32 years old. And one of the keys to being a great general manager, one of the keys to being a great one, is the ability to let a player go the year before he peaks. So you're letting a player go when he still has kind of maximum value and somebody else is interested in him, but you can see that he's about to go over the top of that ridge and on the downside of his career. And that may be, Grady's going to be 32. And I know some people say things like, well, maybe you owe it to him to go to a place where he can contend. Well, I got news for you. He could contend here. This guys and gals, this is a good football team. All right, they're a good football team. If they do the offseason right, if they restructure some contracts, if they get some of the right players in, make the right, you're going to have to do everything right. I get it. Look, the clock is ticking on all these guys, on Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot. Hey, take it on Greg Beatles. It's ticking on everybody over there, okay? I get it. But if they do things right and Jeff Ulbrich is able to make big changes to this defense and make them just mid, this could be a pretty good football team. All right, we got to trade. We got to get like Grady's got to go to Washington and play with Dan Quinn again and have a chance to win a title. Now, Washington obviously is a great team. They just got Deebo Samuel, as you know, in the trade yesterday. I'm pretty much sure that we had those guys beat in their place at the end of the year. Yeah, right? This is a good football team here in Atlanta. This is a good football team. It's a team that could do a lot of damage. It is the leap to being a Super Bowl contender for this team is pretty small. Okay, you just got to do things right this offseason and get things right too. And then we got to talk about, for me, if I were a player and I saw Kirk Cousins walk, I saw him walk into that, I think I'd have issues. But that's just me. And as Mike said, we're just fans. Let's go to your calls, 404-726-0929. Let's begin with Scott. He joins us on the WaveFord.com hotline. Morning to you, Scott.
Hey, John. Welcome back. It's good to hear your show again. I missed it while you were absent. I hope you and your wife's parents are okay. I do have three short things that I hope you'll let me get to. The first one, I want to talk about the Falcons and the draft and free agency. As a fan, I would like to see the team contribute the bulk of free agency and the draft picks to defense, but I'm okay with a potential trade or a late round pick on a wide receiver slash tight end or an offensive guard. I'm of the mindset I want Grady to go. It's not because I don't like him or anything, but I just think at this point a defensive teardown, especially on the defensive line, is needed. And if we want to reach our goals, we have to make those hard decisions. And it's a hard decision. We love him, obviously, as fans, but I think he needs to go. I also think it's time for Kirk and Kyle to go, and we need to contribute those resources elsewhere. I do have a few trade suggestions. The first one, I know he's coming off of a surgery, but the Raiders have a young defensive end. I don't know if you're familiar with him. His name is Malcolm Kuntz. He had 8 sacks in 2023, but he's 26 years old.
Scott, let's just stop right there. I don't want to get into potential trade scenarios. You have no idea if the team is willing to even entertain those either side. So it's
a I understand. I floated the idea around of Christian Kirk Jaguars trade, but I understand what you're saying as well. So that's what I want to say about the Falcons. Just that I hope that they contribute, you know, as much as they can towards defense and free agency in the drafts. But
well, I think they're going to. That's why I asked the question here, which is, are you okay if Grady moves along? Are you okay with?
Absolutely.
That's fine. I mean, I'm 6 of 1, half a dozen of the other. I'm kind of standing in the middle here. I mean, I can see where the team will want to, but at $17 million and 32 years old, you know, that's, you know, especially when you're looking at having a first round pick. All right, let me just go back to this. I think one thing the combine, and I haven't mentioned this yet, one of the things the combine kind of said to me here is, and I put a little bit of stock in the combine. I don't put a whole ton of stock in the combine. Some guys are just workout warriors, look like Tarzan, play like Jane kind of thing. So you really got to rely on both the combine and the tape. It's a combination of things and the interviews to see what kind of guy we're talking about here. For example, James Pierce Jr. is falling, according to some people in the draft, way, because of his character issues, way down. So it looks to me, Scott, like the Falcons can, at least at 15, entertain the idea of trading down. And trading down 5, 6, 7 spots, still getting a really quality player, similar quality player at 21, 22 that they might get at 15, and picking up another pick, because right now they don't have a third-round pick, they don't have a fifth-round pick, and they don't have a sixth-round pick. So trying to at least pick up another pick.
To be concise here with the Falcons statement I wanted to make, I'm okay if they just, you know, whatever they do, whether they trade down or pick somebody, if they make a considerable effort to improve this defense, the offense is fine. I think considerable effort for defense, we win more games, and we win at least one playoff game this past season. So that's where I'm at. But I wanted to move to the next two short points I had. I wanted to ask you about the tournament, the March Madness tournament. Obviously, I'm a big Auburn fan, so I love the fact that Auburn's doing so well this year. Two questions there. Johnny Broome on Auburn or Cooper Flagg, who do you think is the National Player of the Year? And if we see a Duke-Auburn championship game, what are your predictions?
Well, Auburn's a team to beat. I mean, they're just clearly the team to beat to me. I don't think there's any doubt of that. I think everybody can see that. Readily obvious. As the Player of the Year, I can't know how the voters are going to go. Look, there's some people who think Cooper Flagg may not even go into the NBA draft, that he might transfer somewhere and try and get 10
million.
That's
crazy.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be a great tournament. It'll be a great
tournament. Appreciate it, Scott. Thanks, Bunch. Yeah, it's going to be great. Good luck to your Auburn Tigers. They are the team to beat. Certainly the SEC is the league to beat, and this should be a lot of fun. I can't wait for Selection Sunday. I cannot wait for the tournament. Let's go to our old buddy, Mr. Yo. Yo, what is shaking, Yo?
Man, it's not even Atlanta without Fricky on the radio on the weekends, brother. Welcome back.
I am just ecstatic.
And I've been watching everything. I've been listening to everybody. I'm glad that a lot of Atlanta has calmed down as fans about the Kirk Cousins situation. We listened to Terry Fontenot talk about the idea that he's going to do what's best for the Falcons. Cutting Kirk Cousins in that cap hit is not best for the Falcons. That they finally got all that pushed out into the media. You got McShay and everybody else on there on ESPN saying, oh, the Falcons will hold on to Kirk unless they find a trade partner. That's what I want. Okay? The locker room thing, like you said, they're all professionals. Great. I'm cool with that. Now, as far as these draft picks, though, I am with you 100%. If we have to trade back to get third, fourth, fifth round picks or whatever off of that first and second round pick, I'm totally good with that. This is one of the deepest drafts we've seen in a while when it comes to defensive talent. Now, that's where I wanted to call about. I am getting so sick and tired of the myopia of my fellow Georgia Bulldog fans not willing to look the pig in the eye and say that this defense we saw last year, that is not those national championship defenses. As a matter of fact, when they were getting 563 yards hung up on against Georgia Tech, I was saying, this ain't that defense. When they were getting beat down by Alabama, I was saying, this ain't that defense. And as a matter of fact, if you can't stop that collegiate dual threat quarterback, there's no way you're going to be able to stop a Jalen Hurts or a Jaden Daniels in the NFL, because those are the elite of the elite. And so when I was watching this last week and I'm sitting here and I'm looking like, yes, I absolutely love the safety from Georgia. But when you compare him physically to the kid from South Carolina, it's really no comparison. And when I talk to people about it on the internet, they get mad at me. And I keep trying to explain to them, if you line him up against our guy,
well,
Greg
those
London,
are right. Those are fans. Look, I think both are good. I think Malachi Starks is a really good player. I'd love to have him on the Falcons. Emin Worry has certainly played himself because, you'll have to look at the tape. You know, I watched South Carolina. I didn't focus on Emin Worry, but he did have, his combine numbers, Yo, were incredible. I mean, 43-inch vertical, 4.38 40, and he goes at 6'3", 220 for a defensive back, which is, strong safety, huge. I mean, he has got all the stuff. Now, again, whether he plays like it, if he's in the right position and, is able to grow as a player, there's a lot that goes into this. You know this as well as I do. We can't fall in love too much with the combine because the combine can only tell us part of the story and not the entire story.
Absolutely true. And it's also scheme specific when it comes to a lot of these players. So, like, they were looking at the tape of the Shamar Stewart kid and they're looking at his measurables and they were comparing it to Myles Garrett. But then I went back and I looked at it and I compared it to Trayvon Walker, who was at UGA. Basically, they're the exact same build, right? And the system that they were running was a two-gap system. It wasn't a shoot-the-gap trying to put pressure on the quarterback system. So what I'm thinking is, like, look, we have to take the best player available. It doesn't mean that it's the best player at Georgia available. And I need our fans to start realizing that there is a large group of talent in the college ranks. And my favorite tackle is a guy who played at Iowa State. And he transferred there from an Ivy League school. But the kid is like 6'8", 330 pounds, plays right tackle by McGarry. I'm done with you, bro. Love you, John. Talk to you later.
All right. Arguably our best defensive players, over the last you know, 8 to 10 years have come from Clemson, right? I mean, you had Vic and you had Grady and you had AJ. I mean, Clemson's been a pretty good pipeline for, you know, and probably fairly close to equidistant from, you know, Flowery Branch to Clemson to Athens, right? I mean, so it's not like, and most of the players in Clemson are from here. I mean, it's the other thing, you know. You didn't take a Georgia player. Well, is Grady Jarrett, whose dad was Jesse, is from here. He's not a Georgia player? No, he played at Clemson. Oh, okay. I always got a kick out of that. Georgia's produced some great players, and there's no question. I have no problem with the take a, but you don't just take a Georgia player, take a Georgia player. I mean, you just don't. And the Falcons have drafted some Georgia players. Now, granted, they've been lower level later in what they've taken, what, three in the last couple of three drafts, but they've been sixth round and later picks. It's just a case of you got to draft the best player available. Of course they do. They have no choice but to do that. You can't look at somebody in your draft position and think, okay, this guy's going to be an all-star pro bowler. We're going to pass on him because he didn't play at Georgia or he doesn't fit a need. You just can't do that. This is why they took Michael Penix. Because they said, we can't. Now, do I expect they're going to take a defensive player? Yes. Do I think they'll go heavy in the draft defensively? Yes. By the way, they went heavily defensive in the draft last year. I hope you know that. Despite the Michael Penix thing, the rest of it was pretty much defense. So we'll see what happens with how good that is. Well, may depend on the growth of, Adorless and the quality and health of Braylon Trice and the growth, I guess, of Rook. All right, quick break here. 404-726-0929. Let's talk about it. It is a Sunday morning. John Fricke on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live from the way northern Kia Studios, where it was snowing yesterday. I know. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.